Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It is Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily here with the Wednesday night edition. And you know what that means. I means I'm joined by my brother from a distinctly different mother. It is my boy SB3, Daily Boys in the house. How are you, brother?
I am doing well. It is Wednesday. You know what that means. I am back with my brother from an Irish mother. Yes. It goes the other way around. But yes, we are here to have some fun, talk about some wrestling, and have a great debate for you this evening.
Indeed. The debate today is actually going to be about GMs. Who are the great GMs? We might even put together a little Mount Rushmore. We're going to compile our own list. I'm sure we'll have some opinions on that one. And on top of that, NXT, we got to get into that last night, which I thought was a thoroughly good episode. I'm going to go out there and say it. I thought it was really good. Samoa Joe's return, we're going to get into that. The titular news is all about more people who could potentially come back. So that's something for us to sink our teeth into as well. And of course, the heartbeat of the show is the Good Eggs SB3. And they can, wow, stuff falling around in my house. And, of course, you can have your say. You can dictate the show. UltraChats, WrestleTalk.com/Wrestling Daily. Have your say. And while you're here, thumbs up, subscribe, buy our merch, and... while I'm on the plug spree of all plug sprees, you know, I'm going all Doc Gallows on you guys right now. You will have seen today, SP3, that we have launched a little tier system.
Oh, yeah.
At the Wrestling Daily. You can become like one of our loyal good eggs, an official good egg. You know, if you wanted it in writing, if you wanted to be the real good egg, which I see that Cyclone has the propensity to do that. You guys can use the emojis in the chat, right? And there's a lot of good perks that come with subscribing to us and, of course, supporting us. So we encourage you to do that as soon as you can. Let's grow the Good Egg community. The more the merrier, I say, SP3. The Daily Boys have got an emoji. That's all you need to know.
Exactly. You can become a Daily Boy or girl. It's not just, you know, Big Daddy Dick Dangley from last week, Doc Gallows joining us on the Daily Boys train. All of you can join the train as well. We are opening up for applications, and you can do that by becoming a member of the Wrestling Daily community and becoming an official good egg.
So like we have and this is all new to me, by the way. You know, I'm when I saw all of this, I was just like, wow, I didn't even know they did this stuff on YouTube, but it's very cool. We've got our own emotes, loyalty badges for all the good eggs who become members of our YouTube channel, right? So we have such a loyal and fun community here on Wrestling Daily. So I'm really excited to, I guess it's more of a family, SB3. We'll be able to see in the badges, you know, I think it goes from red to orange to silver to gold. Mm-hmm. I say orange, I'm assuming they actually... bronze, but anyway,
yeah, bronze, I think so.
But anyway, you have that, you have the emotes, and there's going to be a lot more stuff that we're going to look to do with members of the Wrestling Daily team. So I'm very excited, I really am. I can't wait to see some of you guys. And there's some in the chat now, they've got some cool stuff going on with the emotes and your name and all of that good malarkey. It's great,
yeah.
So, thank you very much for joining us today. Before we get moving, let's get into that titular news, shall we, SP3? It is a couple of days old, but I think it's worth touching on again. It seems that WWE might be interested in making more moves to the tune of Samoa Joe. Now, the interesting thing with Samoa Joe, and I know we're going to get into all of this when we touch on NXT, he was released by WWE. PW Insider said Triple H snatched him back. So it's essentially two different companies. Triple H has almost waited his time and said, hey, we're going to have these guys, you know, these are on the free market now. I'm going to scoop them up. So a WWE contract and an NXT contract, it's always been the case. They are different things. If you are performing, you know, I think I was told once monetarily wise, like if you're an NXT performer, you know, when they were doing the invasion, there's like a flat rate they get paid for appearing on a main roster show. And then obviously when you get called up, things are, you know, spoken about again, you get a new contract. I guess the best example of that is Vanessa Bourne saying that her contract offer was pulled because she didn't want to be in Retribution. Or I say that she had just had questions about it. And they basically said, well, back to NXT you go. And she stayed on that deal. Needless to say, the NXT deals are of a lower caliber money-wise than the main roster. But for Samoa Joe, I'm still going to imagine he's pulling in a good wedge down in NXT. What do you make of the potential for them to bring people back? You know, we've seen it before as well, where Heath Slater was in his 90 days and WWE still decided to use him.
Yeah.
I think there are a few glaring ones, like Samoa Joe, who could be of use to WWE, and they must be thinking, or certainly Triple H.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the spectrum of all the talent that has left WWE in the since April, it's quite a significant amount. And there's a bunch of them that, you know, still had some potential in NXT. Like the first one that came to my mind is Ruby Riott, who I feel like had an abbreviated run in NXT. She got called up before the Women's Royal Rumble because they had to bring up a whole bunch of women to kind of fill in the 30 slots for the Women's Royal Rumble when they put Riott Squad together for the first time. So she's one that definitely would come into NXT and be a great addition to come in. Of course, I know a lot of people have been talking about Tommy Yen, aka Aleister Black, because he's never said a bad word about WWE. He's done a bunch of streams on Thea Trinidad's Twitch, as well as oral sessions where he's been very kind in his words about WWE. So I know a bunch of people have been talking about him. Thea Trinidad herself is another one that they've had rumors that she was at the Performance Center doing work for WWE. She's another one that Triple H might want to grab up. So there's a
Simone Johnson was the rumor, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's quite a bunch of talent that they can really bolster up NXT. And, you know, NXT has gotten a lot of criticism over the last couple of months, or the last 2 years, being up against AEW Dynamite and, you know, being compared to them, and not a lot of, you know, excitement about NXT for a while. And of course, hey, Chris Patrick became a YouTube member. There we go. Another elite good egg there. And, you know, so there's a bunch of talent that, you know, have been either underutilized or not utilized well on the main roster that can come into NXT and give them a whole bunch of momentum. You know, Triple H had his words on the conference call. You guys addressed it, you and Steph, last week, about his comments about, you know, people criticizing NXT and him saying the fans are ruining things. Well, the fans, I think, would talk more positive about NXT if we have shows like last night. I would go out on a limb. Maybe it's a hot take, and I would say last night's episode of NXT was the best of 2021 so far to me. It had a whole bunch of energy. Everything that Samoa Joe touched, it was gold, and it worked. And he just, if he's not going to be able to wrestle, I think that this is the best role for him. Like, I wanted him to come back to Impact Wrestling and come at Slammiversary next month, or, you know, go out and go to AEW and have a whole bunch of dream matches with, you know, Omega and Pac and Jon Moxley. But it seems like he is either, you know, not being medically cleared from even his doctors, or he has decided that he's on the tail end of his career and he just wants to maximize his time. And if they're going to give you the bag to go to NXT and be an enforcer for the general manager, and you can be such a great asset as he was last night, then I'm all for it. I've been a Samoa Joe fan for almost two decades, so I'm just happy to see Samoa Joe on my screen. you know, I loved him as a commentator on Raw, but he needs to be a character on mainstream wrestling television. And last night proved that.
Yeah, I mean, since we're here, I'll give my thoughts on Samoa Joe as well then. I mean, it's one of them where when he left the company, it was like there was no way they just looked at him and said, oh, you know, we got nothing for Samoa Joe. There's obviously more to it than that. He was, even if that was the case, he was doing a tremendous job at the commentary desk. Tremendous, really, arguably the most valuable member at that point, particularly his chemistry with Tom Phillips. Seems insane that they both were let go. But at that point, Samoa Joe is a commentator, but he's on, you know, a fairly lofty talent contract. Yeah. So you understand, looking at the moves that WWE have made since, particularly Braun Strowman being a case in point, they probably looked at Samoa Joe and thought, we're paying him a lot for what he's doing. And if there wasn't a way to get him back in the ring, which I'm assuming the doctors look at it and that was a no, then that was the best thing for them to do, agree with it or not. Samoa Joe, of course, has then had a chance to look at the landscape since he's left. You know, he can't sign anyway. He's in his 90 days, but people reach out. We know this. He would have had options. And on top of that, he probably took a visit to the doctor. And he would have looked into whether he could get back in the ring again, if it was a smart move or not, and the options available to him. And then I guess when Triple H comes out with the offer, you have to look at it like this. NXT, it's great. You know, still very high exposure. Good pay, very good pay. Probably the second or third best pay in the world. It's going to be, you're looking at AEW in that ballpark. And he's probably, I don't know, I think Samoa Joe's a California guy. But, you know, he must have ties in Florida, I guess. He's been there last few years for sure.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. If you can do that, go back and do it. And as you just said, get your money, Samoa Joe. Do what makes you happy, man. Everyone loves Samoa Joe. He deserves to do what's best for him at this point. And for anyone who felt a little bit shortchanged by the decision, and I know there was, you know, I'm even in that camp, right? Like, oh, he could have done this, he could have done that. But at the same time, what I saw last night was a great way to start. I was very, very much excited and rewarded by what I saw in Samoa Joe. So no problems there for me. If the only thing, I guess, with this, and it's the same with the Austin 04 run or 03, 04, is that like when they start rubbing with certain superstars, you just want a bit more, you know, like Austin and Lesnar, of course, had that in the run up to Mania. And the same, even last night, I was like, oh man, like all of a sudden I want Samoa Joe and Karrion Kross. I want Samoa Joe and Pete Dunne. Like I want those matches already. It's like, and if you don't get them, I'm not the Louis Dangor of this place. I'm not laying down money and whatnot. But I would say that we haven't seen Samoa Joe's final match. That's my opinion. Don't know when. Could be a great long build if they do it right. But I do like this, like the dichotomy of him and William Regal. So I think it's very cool what they're doing at the moment, man. And as far as Samoa Joe goes, it's good for him. It's good for us. Nothing to complain about.
Exactly. And I do agree with you. I don't think we've seen Samoa Joe's last match because I don't think they would tease as many matches as they did last night if he was for good. I think that he can have one or two. Another YouTube member, Gatecrasher Forever. Thank you, brother. Official good elite egg there.
Yes,
right there.
Officially a great egg. There you go. That's what happens there.
So I don't think they would tease matchups with Karrion Kross or Pete Dunne or even the little interplay between him and Johnny Gargano if we were never going to see another Samoa Joe matchup. I think that it's going to be something where, or even, you know, him choking out Adam Cole. I don't think they would do stuff like that unless we were eventually, and maybe WrestleMania weekend, you know, where it matters the most, they can build up to it. I think that we are in for maybe one, maybe even two Samoa Joe matches in the future, because, you know, the little caveat that William Regal gave him that, you know, you can't compete in NXT, you can't lay your hands on anybody unprovoked, it just puts it out there that we will eventually get to the point where he is provoked and laid out by one of the competitors, and then he makes the choice to become a competitor himself. Maybe it's like William Regal says, one night only, Samoa Joe versus Karrion Kross, or Samoa Joe versus Pete Dunne, or Samoa Joe versus Walter. That's the one I want to see the most. I'd love for Walter to come across the border and have one dream match with Samoa Joe. I'm just put that in my veins and I'll have it there forever. So I think you're absolutely right. I think we're going to get one, but it's very interesting if we do see more than just Samoa Joe coming in, because I know on Wrestling Observer newsletter, Dave Meltzer did speculate that Tommy End will sign with AEW, or there's already been talks between the two sides. So me, myself, I would like Tommy End to go to AEW. No offense to NXT. It's just I feel like he did everything he can in NXT. And there's no, like with Samoa Joe, it's different. Samoa Joe has a completely different role now. And there's more storyline potential. And he's opened up a whole story thread that can be a part of this new character, being the enforcer. I don't think there's that for Aleister Black. I think if it's Aleister Black, he's going to be basically going down the same path as Finn Balor of, you know, the former champion coming back. And we've already went through that. We already went through that thread. And now we're at the end of that thread. And it seems like Finn Balor basically has to go back to the main roster because there's nothing else for him to do in NXT, because it was so long between him not being there and him being there that it felt fresh. With Aleister Black, it was 2 years ago. Like, it doesn't feel fresh if he comes back here. And although he said good things about, you know, WWE, I just feel like there's more potential for him outside of the company, whether it's with AEW, whether it's with New Japan, whether it's with Impact Wrestling. I just want to see more for him than just the same thread that we just saw with Finn Balor.
Yeah. Lizzie Stallion is in the house. She's a member. Of course she is. Lizzie Stallion, you know we appreciate you here on this show. You're a daily, you're a daily girl. You're like Molly. You're like Molly when her and Spike were getting it on. That's you.
Exactly.
That's you. We've also got Super Adam Pearson.
Oh, raise it up.
I like this. Feels like, you know, like Reverend Devon, like preach, brother, preach.
We're like the ECW Dudley Boys. Like, we're the Daily Boys is just a whole stable now. Like, we got Adam Daly, we got SP3 Daly, we got Alex Daly, we got Big Dick Daddy Dangly, we got Lizzie Daly. So
Lizzie Daly, Gay Crusher Daly. They're all happening. Yeah.
Exactly.
And look at the cool thing that happens to their names in the chat. You know who members are. Yep. There it is. They've got a nice little, it's like getting verified on Twitter all over again. There you have it. Awesome. Thank you for the support, guys. Thank you so much. Right. Yeah, I agree. In terms of when you look at people who got released by WWE, it's not the same as, I understand your Finn Balor comparison. And I think his was always alone, which, to me, like, I always felt like eventually he would return, right? Like, it coincided with the network, the move to USA, and you know, he needed a fresh lick of paint as well, because the main roster just wasn't really working for him. Or, I mean, it had been, but they ruined him. And I always expected him, and now he's going to go back to the main roster, and he's interesting. Yeah. As far as like an Aleister Black or someone goes, it's not the same. You know, like, I'd like to see him back in WWE, but, you know, it's funny. I'm going to segue to an Ultra chat here from Adam Blamplate. The plate. If they do re-sign, they must have severe Stockholm syndrome. and I get what they mean, right? Because, like, although Aleister Black is, you know, purporting a good, that's what I was going to call it, a good, pleasant experience. And I'm sure it was. He, you know, paid well and, you know, traveled the world at a certain point, and that, I'm sure it was great. But then it does get to the point where he was misused. Like, what would be the incentive to go back? They were in the middle of the vignette where he was getting a proper revamp. You get let go bang in the middle of that. How do you have faith in them ever again? Like, I don't know. But if he was to go to NXT, you know, he'd already pitched to do that once before, right? Like, that is something that I could see working out. But again, where do you go from there then? Because then he's like almost stuck in NXT forever. And that seems to be a problem with some of the talent. It's like, you know, that's pretty much it for them. It's a tough one.
Hey, Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Carol Wands Rowcrawl. There she goes.
Oh. Carol Daly.
There you go. We're pretty, yeah. CD. CD. She's in the house. That's a great start. All of my favorites are joining. Man, there's, yeah, Dion, I'm looking at you, brother. Come on, man. Like, you know, there's guys in here that I'm big fans of. Join the club. I saw Brett Thomas asking earlier how to do it. There's a description in the link, I believe, guys, to go ahead and do that. Now, we've touched on the news, and that kind of led us into NXT, so let's get into it now. Just going from chronologically off the top of my head here, obviously the opening segment was electric. Probably the best opening segment they've had in a long, long time, if not this year. William Regal, I was about to say fighting back the tears, but there were tears. Yeah. You know, and I thought it was a great line talking about, you know, when I wasn't with my family, I spent every other single second with Triple H trying to make this everything we dreamed it would be. You know, obviously very proud, and he should be, of the journey. There's not many superstars in NXT that weren't recruited or scouted by William Regal. Every NXT UK star you can think of, and that includes Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate and all of those guys we revere, are William Regal finds. Daniel Bryan, you can add to that list. There are a ton of guys who have direct links, a direct touch from William Regal. So he does deserve to smell his roses, even if it was like a, you know, a Forks one, because it was going to be leading into something else. But then Karrion Kross comes out. And, you know, if people were debating the other day if he was a heel or a face, this was definitely heel Karrion Kross coming out demanding that Regal says that he's the victor. And, you know, Scarlett is just going absolutely crazy next to him, bubbling like, oh, yeah. And it was good. And then obviously Samoa Joe's music hit, and then things really got into gear because Samoa Joe's promo was lit. And then he just laid into, and what are you still doing here? And everyone was like the way he stepped into him and stuff. Like, he's got this believability about him that's just great. What did you make of the whole segment, man? Because I know we've just run it down there, but like I said, I thought it was electric.
I think it was the best opening segment in all of the WWE in 2021. And yes, I am included. I love the Roman Reigns stuff, but I feel like if you see one Roman opening promo, you've seen them all. So I feel like this was the strongest because it went on a different levels of emotions. You had the very emotional William Regal, like, you know, pouring out his heart, telling the whole story of him and NXT and the relationship that has, you know, built there for the past 7 years. Then you had Karrion Kross being very defiant. And I felt like this was the best promo he's done in his time during NXT, and just getting in Regal's face. And, you know, something that could have been like a passing line that he said last week during the whole Fatal 5-Way face-off, it became the catalyst of him coming out this week about chaos is taking over, you lost control, and I want to hear you say that you've lost control before you leave. And then the way he sold the Samoa Joe theme music got you even more amped for his theme to finally hear it again. And then Joe coming out, and then the crowd that I said it was so quiet during points on Sunday during NXT TakeOver In Your House. They were on their feet. They was louder than I've ever heard the PWC. Joe. It just felt like so much energy just came into NXT, and NXT once again became a hot brand. It just, and then Samoa Joe talking about his history, saying, I gave you hell, Mr. Regal, when I was here before, but I always had a level of respect, and I want to make sure people respect you. And then, you know, Regal laying out the offer, and then Joe getting in Karrion Kross's face. Every part of that just got you like, oh, I want to see what's going to happen next. I want to see what's going to happen tonight. And this was the most intrigue, the most interest that I've had in NXT in probably 2 years, to be honest with you. Like, this just felt like one of the best opening segments that NXT has done in quite some time. And like I said, the best opening segment in all of WWE in 2021. And it set the tone for what was a really, really good show last night.
Yeah, I thought it was great. It moved a lot of things along, started a lot of interesting angles. The main event killed. It had a hell of a lot going for it. The thing with Samoa Joe as well, before we move on to that, Hector Rodriguez! Wrestling Daily is in HD! Of course it is! There he is! Thank you, Hector, my good friend. You're good egg. Very good egg. I liked it as well that we like established it early. That, look, when he put Cole to sleep because Cole and O'Reilly are going at it, and like early doors, it's like, oh, like, okay, like Samoa Joe is going to get physical, there's none of that, like, everything's fair game, and it just set the tone early, which I liked. Yeah. And then I love the stare down with Pete Dunne as well. That's one of those where, you know, sometimes it happens. This is a terrible example, terrible, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's the first one that came to my mind. Do you remember when Ryback was red hot? Like, red hot. He was red hot. And the first time he bumped into CM Punk backstage, like, CM Punk was making a getaway, basically, from, like, the arena, and then Ryback, and it, like, panned up, and it was him. The crowd went apeshit for that. Like, I know that sounds mental now in 2021, and everyone's like, no.
That didn't happen.
In 2012, that shit happened. I'm telling you. That just reminds me of that, where it's like, ooh, because Ryback had been being built for so long and Punk was the guy. Kind of felt like that. It was a coming
together type of moment. I do have, unfortunately,
get provoked, get choked. I like that.
I like that. That needs to be a t-shirt for
it
sure.
It does. Great t-shirt.
I have two, maybe one is a nitpick and then one is just a real criticism. First of all, that botch at the end of the show when they were gonna interview Regal and Samoa Joe, and then they just cut to MSK and Thatcher and Ciampa, and then we got the in their interview in the office with, you know, The Way and Pete Dunne,
which
were great to tease those things. And then we got, again, them going to the limo that we were supposed to get earlier in the night. So, you know, that production bot, that's a nitpick. But why did we do an unsanctioned match between Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly at Stand and Deliver to build to another unsanctioned match at Great American Bash? This is nonsensical booking, and this is, in a nutshell, the reason why Adam Cole should be on the main roster, because they have run out of ideas for him, and they're literally just retreading things we saw 2 freaking months ago. Like, I was just like, wait, what?
And it was like 50 minutes, right? It's not as if they, like, it wasn't like, you know, with Hangman and Omega, it was like, oh, that feels like the first chapter. That felt like it.
That exactly. Like even Ciampa and Gargano's non-sanctioned matchup, at least they left room. Like, that went 36 minutes, but there was a lot for them to go back to. And that's why even some people, I remember back in 2018, they thought the Chicago Street Fight was even better than the unsanctioned matchup. And then I was in Brooklyn for, you know, the Last Man Standing match, I feel like was the weakest of their matches. But even that was, that felt like, that didn't even feel like a blow off because they knew they were going to go back to it. Like, they gave them 45 minutes at Stand and Deliver. Like, that's, it's over. Like, the feud is done. Why are we going back to it? I'm sorry. Like, you shouldn't have gave them 45 minutes if we're just going to build to another unsanctioned match on TV.
Yeah, like, there needs to be some kind of incentive at the end of this match then. Like, if Cole loses, get out, right? Yeah. Or what does O'Reilly get if he wins? Or what has got, you know, there needs to be something, because it's just doing it again to have a feud. It's not very inventive. I mean, I think Cole should be on the main roster now anyway. And, you know, they might have just been bide their time for fans coming back. And, you know, they might move him up. But, you know, I think Io as well. Although, you know, The way she was used last night was fine. I think the same. Once you have a long run in NXT with the belt and you kind of conquer all challengers, not much else to do, right? Because then you have to drop the belt, and whoever's new anyway is probably up towards the belt. So you're like, you know, just kind of meandering, trying to find stories. And Kyle O'Reilly, I thought the whole purpose of O'Reilly and Cole was really to get O'Reilly up and moving in the main event picture.
Me too.
And if that's not the case, what the hell is Roddy Strong doing? Like, there are some questions that need answering, because I miss backs being broken by Roddy Strong. I need him back. And, you know, it was kind of just left on a, you know, like a cliffhanger. Him and his missus went, you know, we're out of here.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. I would have thought he'd have been back. You know, maybe he comes back in this. I still think he'd be a great, I know this is a shite term, but like a great hand on the main roster. He'd be great to, you know, have some bangers and stuff. So maybe that's what they need to do. Or maybe, you know, Cross kind of goes with Cole. I don't know, but I do need it figured out. Because, you know, Roddy hasn't left. He isn't, you know, he hasn't shoot left. So I need to know what's going on there. But anyway, nevertheless, let's move along with the NXT show. The next thing I want to talk about, I said I'd go chronologically. I'm not even sure if this is chronologically, but I want to touch on it anyway. LA Knight and Cameron Grimes, Million Dollar Man. Now, to set the table for those who haven't seen it, there essentially is like LA Knight getting, it's the receiving ceremony for the Million Dollar Championship. Million Dollar Man's there. I keep wanting to call him Eli Drake. LA Knight then proceeds to basically give this whole spiel and story about how everyone, you know, him and his friends loved the Million Dollar Man as kids. Everyone wanted to be Million Dollar Man and used to get the belt with the action figure and all of this great stuff. And the crowd kind of started to chant during it, where Knight was like, you know, I'm just not going to listen to them. Like, you know, I think everyone knew what was happening. But still, when it actually did happen, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, they do the laugh and LA Knight's like, you know, I finally got what I wanted, so now I don't need you, basically, and just beats the crap out of Ted DiBiase, which, for a legend, I don't think I've seen a legend beat that bad in a while.
Not 67, that's ridiculous.
Exactly, right? So I was like, damn, Ted's taking some stuff here. And then, of course, Cameron Grimes comes down like a ball of fire, by the way. He didn't just come down. He really did come down with a lot of energy. And like, you know, the switch is complete. Cameron Grimes clearly is the hot baby face now. LA Knight, the heel, probably the way it should have been, but I'm glad that they got us here this way. Makes me understand Sunday a bit better. And, you know, if we've got the union of Grimes and DiBiase now in a more organic way, all things told, I think they've done a good job.
Yeah. I think that, you know, one of the main, compliments that I give to AEW a lot is that they listen to the fans. And I feel like NXT did that off of TakeOver In Your House with the presentation of Karrion Kross, where he was not the most liked person at In Your House. They presented him like an established heel on this show. And they did that with Cameron Grimes. LA Knight's promo, I think, was the best one he's cut since being in WWE. And I'm a fan of his promo styles. I like the Eli Drake stuff and the fact of life and all that other stuff. But this was subdued, and it just felt like you knew where it was going, because you knew he's still a heel. But it was a great way to tell the story and, you know, get the belt and then just say, oh, I got what I need from you. And then the beatdown on Ted DiBiase was surprising, because I was like, I didn't expect Teddy at 67 to take a beating like that. And yeah, like you said, Cameron Grimes was the most over babyface period at in your house. Like, he was over like Rover, them chanting the to the moon during his theme song, and then every time he got up to the top of the ladder, they were just ready to pop, and it really kind of deflated the crowd. Like, I feel like Ember and Raquel would be remembered a little bit better if the crowd wasn't completely deflated off of Cameron Grimes losing the match before that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fans really wanted to cheer Cameron Grimes here, and they did when he came in like a house of fire. So I'm glad that he is finally a babyface, because he feels like the type of babyface they can build around, and eventually he can get the big win at a takeover, whether it's in, you know, a feud with LA Knight, or even him winning like the North American, or even potentially the NXT championship. He's just, character work has been tremendous this entire year, so I'm very glad they made that decision.
Yeah, I was trying to explain this the other night. Like, I like LA Knight as in the performer. I know he's good. I enjoy his promos. Yeah. I wasn't feeling the character. Like, and maybe that was because he was a babyface, and it was just, it didn't feel, I don't know. It's very hard to describe, but I couldn't get into him, and I wanted to get into him because I like him. I feel like as a heel, it's going to be much easier for me to enjoy him. And I think that is probably his best role. So I'm very excited to see where they go with it. And I think, like you said, the main thing out of this is that Cameron Grimes is someone who's going to be really over. For guys who are unaware, like the, you know, the Trevor Lee days, this is a guy who can go. He's not just, yeah, you know, this funny millionaire character. Like, you know, this is a guy who in PWG was doing, you know, big things. He was kind of like one of the biggest things after the wave of PWG, you know, that that became famous, if you like, yeah, you know, the Steens, Genericos and Bucks and whatnot, right? Like, he kind of came in just after that. I remember he handed Kevin Owens his first loss, I believe.
In the Battle of Los Angeles, yeah.
Yeah, like, I didn't even know that, you know, the Hardy Boys had trained him. This is a very interesting guy that I think has kind of been building along nicely, and they've done it the right way. And now that his in-ring stuff can live up to the character, I feel like they have something special. So let's move along with NXT, though. I'm not going to spend too long on this. Breezango defeated Imperium with a roll-up, the main story being after the match, they beat the crap out of them and put the Imperium flag over them. Probably the forgettable moment on the show, to be honest. But
Walter going to beat them up. He's going to whoop their butt.
He's going to come and... Man. I mean, who doesn't he whoop? You know, let's be honest. But I feel like Imperium are spinning their wheels a little bit, and yeah, Breezango are, I mean, they are what they are. I do think Johnny Curtis certainly had a higher ceiling than he ever actually reached, but
agreed,
you know, that's just me. But at the same time, these are just, you know, it's just really the tag division getting around. It's harmless, it's fine, but a roll up, yeah. It was what it was. I wasn't like overly offended by it, didn't love it either. Next, we had NXT Cruiserweight Championship, which Kushida taking on, and this is another one where I don't want to say Blake Christensen. We had Trey Baxter.
Yeah.
I thought the vignette prior to the match helped a great deal, right? Mm-hmm. Like, for those who maybe aren't familiar or whatnot, and established who he was, and it was kind of a little bit of both. He was like, you know, this is a dream match, which I guess for a lot of people, it was, right?
Yeah.
But he's in his new iteration now. So he was kind of establishing that at the same time. Those guys did great. I thought the match was solid, showed a lot of great stuff from both of them. The chemistry was clearly there. And it's going to lead to Kyle O'Reilly and Kushida, which we learned after the match. Now, these two do have history, and it's always been great. Man, again, just a home run segment for me. You've got a great match, leads into something great. The interest is there. Can't complain at all.
Perfect debut once again during this Kushida Open Challenge. It's starting to become the John Cena Open Challenge of NXT, where he's...
Or the Cody TNT.
The Cody TNT, where he's bringing in new talent. You know, Carmelo Hayes had a really good debut against him. And I felt like this, Blake Christian, a.k.a. Trey Baxter, was even better. Like, he had the vibes of, like, a young Buddy Murphy coming into the Cruiserweight division. And I feel like Kushida has been, like, the perfect upgrade from Santos Escobar. Nothing against Santos Escobar's run. I feel like he was great to kind of establish the NXT Cruiserweight Championship once again as like a main title on NXT. But I feel like Kushida's doing a little bit more for it, like by introducing new characters into the division, and he has the ability to move up and verse, you know, the best of the best from NXT. And we saw that here with the challenge from Kyle O'Reilly. I've seen them in the Best of the Super Junior Finals, I believe in 2015, and you give these guys 15, 20 minutes, we're going to be talking about next week on Wrestling Daily how it was one of the TV matches of the year. So I am very much looking forward to O'Reilly versus Kushida. Please give us a clean finish. Please don't let Adam Cole get involved. Like, that's all I'm acting for.
Lizzy Stallion trying to get a swear jar emoji. Come on, man. Let us live. Let us live, Lizzy. No, thank you very much. I'm sure we are open to ideas, guys, by the way. So please do keep those coming in. I mean, I kind of disagree with anything you said there, man. I mean, I'm very excited. And it's, you know, it's a great match that NXT have got in their back pocket that they've made feel significant. So that's cool. Because, you know, we had Drew McIntyre and AJ Styles on Raw this week. And it's just like, oh, it's Drew McIntyre versus AJ Styles. So I like it when there is some kind of lead in and, you know, it's not totally cold. Yeah. Which apparently is a new Vince McMahon edict. He doesn't like cold matches. He's got a funny way of showing it, but there you have it. Obviously, after that was the LA Knight segment. Now, Casey Catanzaro, we all know I'm her biggest fan. She was back, and with her and Caden Carter took on Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. Tell me that Casey and Caden didn't look great. Tell me. They look great. This is a great match.
It was a lot of fun. I wish they would have played off of the fact that Casey's debut was against Raquel back in the Mae Young Classic. Like, if they would have played into that and you could see, like, you know, where Raquel's at from there and where Casey's at from there, I think it would have been fun. But for, like, a basic TV match, this was a lot of fun. Casey and Caden, I think, eventually are the perfect underdog tag team. I'm done. Are the perfect underdog tag team to potentially become the women's tag team champions, because they just feel more like a team than any other team, including the way they feel more like a tag team than any other team on the roster. But I like the story that's building between Dakota and Raquel. It is very much they are just reinventing the 1995 HBK and Diesel storyline, where Diesel became champion first, and, you know, Dakota, aka HBK, is just biding her time before she says, "I want that title myself." But for now, they can go after the tag team titles together.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. I would love to see Dakota Kai, you know, smell her roses one day and get the title, by the way. I do think they're doing a great job of building Raquel. I'm a huge Casey Catanzaro fan. In my opinion, there's nobody quite like her in the whole company. I said that once on Twitter and someone was like, "Naomi, come on now." Like, Naomi's athletic, but the things Casey Catanzaro does, like, it's ridiculous. I know it's ironic because they're together, but, like, it's like the women Ricochet. It really is. Like, the things that she can do, I just think that's a huge baby face waiting to happen. I'm often wrong, but there you go. Casey, in my opinion, her and Cajun, a great team for now. I agree. They could really make their way to the titles down the road. So I hope that's the direction anyway, because they're great together and Casey's got a hell of a lot of talent. The Way, next up, this is Indy and Candice, I should state. Not, Austin Theory's not out here trying to beat up Io Shirai. The Way tried to take out Io Shirai. And, you know, they were kind of getting the better of her. And Indy was being sent up for the big elbow drop, SB3. But then Zoe Stark came down. Now, speaking of coming down like a ball of fire with Cameron Grimes, Zoe Stark looked great. You know, flying across the ring and, you know, had all the intensity in the world. Io comes in with a double drop kick. Looks like Io's hanging around for a tag team with Zoe Stark. Is this what we're doing? Or is this just going to be maybe what happens next week as a tag match? I don't know.
Maybe we get this at Great American Bash, but I don't know about you. I was okay with Zoe Stark kind of teaming with Zeta Ramir I felt like that was good use of them to be another tag team in the women's tag team division. I felt like, where the hell is Saray? I think that this would have been the perfect spot for Saray to come out and team with Io Shirai. You can't give us the Sky Pirates because Kairi, you know, is in Japan. Give us Saray and Shirai. Like,
why you gotta make me sad?
I'm just saying I would have loved for Kairi to come out and make the save, and we can have a real women's tag team champions. That I would take the Sky Pirates being the tag team champions forever, and I would never make another complaint about the NXT women's tag team titles, which I mean, there's a lot of titles that are useless, but those are one of them. But yeah, I just felt like this would have been a perfect spot for Saray to come out. I like Zoe Stark. She always seems to get involved in everybody else's feuds, though, it seems. Like, she got involved when Toni Storm was kind of racing Zeta Ramir, when, you know, Saray and Zeta Ramir had their thing, and Toni Storm was going to go after her. Zoe Stark got involved. Now Zoe Stark's getting involved in this. I understand they established when they went against each other, Shirai and Stark, that they're friends now, but...
yeah.
It just would have seen, I don't know. It just seems like the women's division, you know, I hear a lot of people complain about the AEW roster being too stacked, being too many people. I feel like the same can be said about the NXT women's division, because when I saw Frankie Monet on this show, I was like, where the hell has she been?
Yeah.
I was like, thank you for showing up to work.
Yeah. Like, she had to remind us, like, I'll wrestle next week. Oh, okay, cool.
I was like, how many weeks ago was that world premiere? Like, I was like, Jesus, like, what is going on with this women's division? They have too much talent at this point.
Well, as I mentioned as well, Toni Storm missing in action as well. I mean, they've got a lot, really. Obviously, that was the joke, that they didn't want to do their own, or that was the pitch, was an all-women's show. They really, really could. But there you have it anyway. Like, they've got a lot of options moving forward. And then, to the Tornado Tag. I said this last week. I want good things for Tommaso Ciampa and Tim Thatcher. People keep telling me not to get my hopes up because there's going to be a turn somewhere along the line. Probably. But I enjoy them as a tandem very much. I think they complement each other fantastically well. I like how we've got here. It's one of the best uses of a feud into a tag team I've seen in recent memory, because they do have a lot of the same kind of similar hallmarks.
Yes.
That, you know, you can believe that they would be friends, right? Like, the you know, the way that they carry their business and stuff. So I didn't want them to just become a team and then do nothing. So I kind of feared that this was going to be another Grizzled Young Vets put over moment, which is fine because they are great.
Yes.
But I was very glad to see that Ciampa and Thatcher got the win. Makes things a lot more interesting moving forward. You know, I don't know how it sits with MSK and how that looks, but man, a lot of the action here was really great. I mean, Drake took a beating at the end there. But I loved it, man. And I'm all for this team being like a real thing, right? Not just like partners because there's nothing else to do. Like, let's run with Thatcher and Ciampa, man. Why not? I think they could tear the house down with MSK.
This is NXT's version of the Bar to me. Like, they have that vibe to them where, you know, you wouldn't have seen them, you wouldn't have think of them as a tag team when they were feuding against each other. But like you said, they just complement each other very well. And the way they was working as a team, you know, the uppercuts by Timothy Thatcher in the corner while Ciampa was doing the clotheslines. I love that's become one of his staples. Those forever clotheslines, taking a page out of Rocky Romero's book, the forever clotheslines in the corner. I love that. I loved it against Walter at Stand and Deliver, and I've been loving it ever since then. So this was a really, really good main event, in my opinion. I think that Grizzled Young Veterans lost nothing in this. I feel like they do need like a big win maybe in their like next feud, because they've lost in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Finals. They lost at Stand and Deliver for the championships, and then they lose here. But I really agree with you that Ciampa and Thatcher versus MSK, those are just a styles clash that I really want to see. Like, you got the hard-hitting submission work of Thatcher and Ciampa versus the high-flying of MSK. And with how the CWC has been reacting to MSK as of late, I feel like Thatcher and Ciampa will be the fan favorites. Like,
yeah.
It's like the fans seem really behind them, and this was a big credibility win for them. So it was a good way to end the show.
I mean, I love MSK for the record. Like, I hear what you're saying there. Like, and even when I interviewed them, they are such likable guys. But it's that thing where they've been pushed straight out the gate. Yes. So fans are a little bit like, eh. It's hard to invest in the match, I guess, sometimes. I mean, don't get me wrong, the opener on Sunday was great, in my opinion. But I guess some fans will be like, they're going to win. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, what's really going to happen here? And I personally am a big fan of MSK. I think there's a load of great matches for them to be had there. And, you know, dare I say, one day on the main roster, man, I'm imagining them tear down houses with Usos and New Days. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that can happen there. Don't count your chickens ever with that. But still, they have the propensity to do so. So, yeah, man, that was NXT for me. Great show. Really great show. Like you said, probably their best of the year. Comes at a good time where AEW's had a lackluster couple of weeks. I think it's probably fair to say. I wouldn't say they're bad, but, you know, compared to the standards that they've set, I don't think anyone will say that those shows have blown anyone away the last couple of weeks. So it's good. It's very good for NXT.
And it kind of feels like on purpose because of the time slot. Like 2 weeks ago was probably the worst episode of Dynamite of all time. My guys on AE Recap on True Hill, he called it the WWE tribute show because you had Vicky Guerrero, you had Mark Henry, you had Christian versus Matt Hardy. So, yeah, that was weak. This past week was okay, but still not to the quality we were getting before Double or Nothing, for sure.
I hated how Andrade debuted. I don't know if I've said this, but because, you know, it was on the thing. I hated it. Not that he's with Vicky Guerrero, right? Just the whole... Vicky Guerrero cuts a promo, and I'm here with Andrade. And then the commentators are like, is she? Because he takes like an age to get down there. And then he finally appears, and he walks out, and it's like, oh, Andrade's here. Like, they could have come up with something so much more impactful than that. Like, you know, this is a big deal. And then, like, to be fair, the guy did well when he got on the mic, and, you know, he showed the intensity. It looked great. Oh, it just fell flat for me. I was just like, this didn't feel like a massive debut that it should have. I was disappointed, man. Not often I say that for AEW, but I was in that instance. Remember, guys, we're on the home straight here, so please do get your Ultra Chats in if you have not already. WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily. I'd love to hear your opinions on wrestling this week or forthcoming. We've got Hell in a Cell at the weekend. We've had Raw. We've had NXT. We've got two more weeks of AEW, I believe, on the weekends. Is it the 30th? Is it the 30th, the last one that's...
30th.
The next one back on Wednesday.
30th. I mean, back on Wednesday, 30th, yeah.
So there's two more Saturdays then. For that, and we've got places to go. SP3, before we head into the home straight, and maybe we'll take some questions, talk to the people about True Hill Heat and what they've been up to this week or what's coming up, man.
Well, we got a fun one. I'm taking a page out of Wrestling Daily on Saturday. We're going live on True Hill Heat 130, and it's going to be a special call-in edition. We're giving it out to the people that's been supporting the channel, you know, with super chats. But, you know, maybe, possibly, I know a couple of people are not able to show up that we have supported us with super chats, so we might put it out there to everyone watching us live. So we're going to go live 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. BST, True Hill Heat 130 on Saturday. So join us live for that. We're going to be talking about Hell in a Cell. A lot of good things coming up over there. And, yes, it's going to be a good time. A lot of great content on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel. We got the roundtable for In Your House. We got my interview with Chuck Palumbo that's still up there. So check all of those out for sure on True Hill Heat.
I saw your tweet earlier looking to get the Alex McCarthy credit card. Listen, this is a shoot. If you can get there and, you know, don't like a credit card, I'll be your guarantor, if you like. I'll put in for you. And, I mean, the content is dispute between True Hill and TalkSport. But I would do that if that's what you want.
Yes, I already asked the wife. The wife has given me the okay. So I am going to Queens. I will be there. AEW announced today that they're going to be running their first show in New York City on September 22nd at the Arthur Ashe Stadium in Flushing, Queens. I haven't been in Flushing since I worked there when I was 19 years old. I was selling knives. Ooh. Yes. I used to sell knives, Cutco, for all the people in the know. I sold a lot of those. But yes, I used to work out in Flushing. I'm going to make my return to Flushing at the Arthur Ashe Stadium on September 22nd for AEW. first time in New York. So I will be doing, I already got the okay from Sports Kita. They want me to do content interviews for them. I'll do interviews for TalkSport. I'll do interviews for Wrestling Daily, True Hill Heat. I'm checking all the boxes.
Fuck Sports Kita. They can hit the bricks. Hey, I don't give a shit what they want. You're my guy. Get out of here.
Hey, I did put you before.
You know, if that's how it counts, that's what I want. Goddamn. No, man. I was going to say as well, thank you to everybody who has joined us as a member of Wrestling Daily today. Again, a good time looking at your little, look at that, the little symbol that Hector has now, and many others. Gatecrash has got one too. 2 o'clock Saturday, man. I might even stop by. Yeah. I might do it. It's Father's Day Sunday. Is it Father's Day in America as well?
Yes, it is.
Because I know it doesn't always line up, does it? Mother's Day is different, I know. Yeah. But Father's Day, man, me and you, the love should be showered on us this Sunday.
I agree with you. We're going to have a good time on True Hill Heat. I'm taking the Sunday off. I'll let the guys do the Hell in a Cell roundtable because I'm going to enjoy my Father's Day with the kids and the wife. But yes, you can see me on Saturday, 2 p.m. BST, True Hill Heat.
Is this going over my head, Gatecrasher? Hit the bricks. Is someone a member of Reddit? Is that like Squared Circle Jack? I'm imagining a fellow goofy. Hit the bricks. It's just the same, man.
Yeah.
Hit them bricks. Get out of here.
Hit the bricks. Hit the road, Jack.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Lizzie was right all along. There she was. Oh, I feel like Mick Foley stand up. You know, he saves one. I thought, you know, I haven't dropped an F-bomb yet. Sports Kita again. Right. I'm going to have to dip. We're going to have to end this show 5 minutes early tonight because I have an interview at 9 o'clock with a certain champion in WWE. More on that tomorrow. I'm going to bring stuff from Steve Macklin. You might know him as Steve Cutler. That will be dropping in the next couple of days. And the WWE talent I'm speaking to tonight as well. So stay posted for that. The podcast of my radio show will also be out this week. I believe it's tomorrow morning. I'll be posting links on my Twitter and whatnot. Chris Petru reminds me that there's an Ultra Chat here. See, I need to keep on top of this stuff. But I can't see any.
They're staying on top.
He says there's one more. It's Adam Blum. Adam Blumplate was the one I can see in the chat, and he's already been.
They're upgrading it right now. You need to refresh, Rob. And don't worry, we will do our authority figure Mount Rushmore next Wednesday.
Right? Yes, we didn't have time.
Wrestling Daily. We had a lot to get into. It was a good episode of NXT. So we talked about it for a while. For all the people that are upset when Alex and Steph talk about AEW too long and forget about NXT all those weeks that they were on Wednesday, we did a whole episode talking about NXT for you fine people.
Yeah, that's it. And also, you're talking about stretching things out. I mean, yeah, look, NXT was good. Next week we will bring the debates, but I have told SB3 I might just retire because I won the last debate. So I might just, next goal wins. You Brits know how it works, right? Winner stays on, all that good stuff. That's it. It doesn't matter that SV3 is winning like 11-2. It doesn't matter. I was the winner. And that means it's over now. I'm only joking. We will
I told Alex he's the Tommy Dreamer to my Raven in ECW. Only ECW fans will know the reference of Raven beating Dreamer over and over again. And then Dreamer won. And
all I remember is Dreamer 1. That's all I remember. Big baby face Tommy Dreamer. Anyway, thank you so much, guys, for joining us tonight. I really do have to go now. So thank you so much. I'll be back tomorrow with Steph Chase. You know, there'll be a bit of a Q&A and all that good stuff. All of you good eggs, I will see you there. Take care.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.